sorrows and fears pass away. Heartaches soon vanish, and burdens can't stay. For the heart that's been broken and wounded by sin, there is healing when you call on His name. Now He shall return some glad day, a blessed appearing for those who obey. Every tongue shall confess Him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power of His name. Jesus. I'm glad I can call on His name tonight, aren't you?
Amen.
And it's so good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Then we'll have a couple of congregation songs or so. And the choir will come down a little bit. You'll notice we're missing a few folks tonight. And I want to give you a very special prayer request. And that is Brother Jerry Moss. You know Jerry and Pam. They're very much very familiar with us and us with them. And that's CJ would tell you that's his parents. They're adopted parents. And that is well said. Brother Jerry this afternoon was taken to the hospital where he is right now in surgery for a very severe brain bleed. So I would ask you to please, please remember him in prayer, Pam, the family. And as we go to the Lord in word of prayer in a few moments, would you please remember him? Just lift him up. Pray that the doctors would have the guidance and direction they need to find what is going on. And they went ahead and put him on a vent before they took him into surgery. So it's a very serious time. So we just want to go to the Lord again in a word of prayer. And I ask the Lord to be with him in a very powerful way. Pray for God's blessing on the service. And but let's go to him in a word of prayer, and then we'll have another song. Brother Alan Young, would you take us, Lord, tonight in a word of prayer?
For Heavenly Father, like, Lord, to be a father, to have a father's heart.
remain standing, turn to page number 139, page 139, and let's sing At Calvary. Sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
On the last now.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God that God did span.
The announcements that were given this morning, homecoming is right around the corner. It's on 9/11. We should be able to remember that at 10:30 that morning. No Sunday school and no evening service. And so please remember that. Brother Alan Young will be speaking for us that day. We're very excited about that. And we look forward to a great service. There will be a meal to follow that morning. So it should be a great time. Is that correct? Meal to follow. Okay. Make sure. You'll be coming to my house for lunch, I guess, if I was wrong. But we will have a great time that day, and we look forward to a great homecoming here at Calvary. And Pastor will be speaking next Sunday over at Floyd Road, and we'll have Brother Craig Edwards will be here with us for the morning as well as the evening service. Pastor will be back that evening, but let's just pray that the Lord just give us a great day in the house of the Lord next Sunday. But we need a touch from heaven tonight. Would you agree with me? Amen. Thank you. And let's go to him again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. All the prayer requests have been given as well as the offering. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to be back in your house tonight. Lord, some would love to be here that can't. Lord, some would, Lord, just need to be here and are not. As Brother Allen voiced in his prayer a few moments ago, Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart that would long to be in service with you, in service with your people, under the word of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know exactly what we need here tonight. Lord, you've heard all these prayer requests. Lord, I lift up to you again, Jerry Moss. God, I pray that you touch him. Again, be with the doctors. Lord, you know exactly what is needed there far better than we do. Lord, we would just lift him up to you. And Lord, we just place him in your healing hands tonight. Again, I pray that you just be with us. Now bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Be with our church. You know exactly what we need here at Calvary. Be with our pastor. Speak through him tonight. Lord, thank you for what you've done here today. We're going to praise you for what you'll do here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whatever you got to do, right? It's good to be here tonight, and we certainly are remembering Brother Jerry in our prayers tonight, and we'll have another word of prayer for him in closing this evening. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 tonight. to where we're going to be for just a little while. And I wonder if anybody's ready for Bible drill tonight. When Lily first started going to school, she went to youth Christian school, and they had what you call sword drill every morning. And call out the verse, first person to get it reads it, and that was something neat to behold, for sure. I actually substituted there as a teacher a few times. The dear pastor, Brother Moses Florence, he was in dire need of help. And on a couple occasions, he said, "Hey, could you come over here and teach math?" I said, "You really want me to do that?" And so I just stood up and acted like I knew what I was doing. And if I didn't know the answer, I'd just call on the student. I'll say, "You over there, you come up here and tell us. You look like you would know what the answer to this is. Why don't you share with the class?" And so I just made it through the day. But we'd always start with sword drill. And we'll call the verse out and hear the pages turning. And what a blessing, what a blessing. So we're going to have a little bit of sword drill tonight and speak on a very practical subject. And I hope that we'll be encouraged tonight to deal with this subject. Let's pray, and then we'll read from verse number 24 out of 1 Corinthians 9. Verse number 24. Father, we love you. We thank you. Be with us in the next few moments, and we'll praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I, therefore, so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I want to stop there. That's concluding chapter number 9, down in verse number 27. By way of introduction to the message tonight, the lesson, the topic, I actually want to talk about the greatest enemy we have, in my personal opinion. And many tonight will say that the devil is our greatest enemy. And he certainly is one of them. He's a contender, a big contender. Tonight I want to talk about the flesh. More specifically, overcoming the flesh. I believe the flesh is our greatest enemy. And the reason why I believe that is because I don't need the devil's help to sin. I can do bad all by myself in this tabernacle of flesh that I live in. Many people tonight blame the devil, blame the world for their mistakes. But I believe tonight if we can learn our flesh and learn from our flesh and learn how to control our flesh, then we in turn can overcome it, and it's to be done day by day. I do not believe that you can get to the place of overcoming the flesh where it doesn't bother you anymore. I do not believe that. I do not believe in eradication of the flesh. We will always deal with it, contend with it, and it's something that's to be learned from. Every failure, every obstacle, every situation, we can glean from the attempts we've made on the arm of the flesh. Here in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul, he's writing the church of Corinth. And of course, he's using a picture here of a person that's running a race that is in competition mode. He says in verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run, that you may obtain." Verse 25 talks about striving for the mastery, talks about running this race, And he mentions being temperate in all things. In other words, having self-control in this race, verse 25, and that there's a crown to be won, not a physical crown, but a spiritual one. And then Paul says, I, in verse 26. He doesn't say you, they, but he says I. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And so Paul is saying that I am the one I'm fighting against. I have my own race I'm in. I'm staying in my own lane, and that's enough for me, I believe is what Paul is saying. He says, I'm not out here fighting, beating the air. I'm not, you know, just wasting my time and energy and strength doing nothing, accomplishing nothing. He says, I'm in competition mode against myself. Verse number 27, there's an urgency here in his voice, in his writing. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by which any, lest, it gets me every time, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word keep here, verse 27, it means to beat black and blue. It also means to buffet. Dana Williams one time, if anybody knows evangelist Dana Williams, he was preaching one time and he was preaching out of these verses, and he says, this is the only place in the Bible where it says you can go to the buffet. He says, I buffet myself. I didn't laugh either. But the word keep there means to buffet. It also means to disable. To disable. And let me say tonight that our flesh, starting with me and everybody else in this room, watching online and in the world, needs to disable the flesh every day and enable the spiritual man. That's how we're going to make this thing. That's how we're going to finish our course. And that's how we're going to finish well. Now he concludes in verse number 27 by saying that I have to do this because I don't want to be a castaway, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway means unapproved. And he's talking about preaching the gospel and living a life as an apostle, but yet getting to a place where you are unapproved because you haven't kept your body in subjection. You have let yourself go. You have fallen in a bad place, committed sin, and kept on committing to a place of being unusable, really, being a dirty vessel. And so he says that, I don't want to be set on the shelf as a has-been piece of pottery, an old vessel that God once used. He says, I want to be used now. And he says, in order to do that, I have to buffet myself, and whatever that may require. I have to put restrictions on my life. I have to discipline myself. And I want to say, if Paul is saying he needs to discipline himself, if Paul is saying he needs restrictions in life, every last one of us needs restrictions in life. None of us are holy. None of us are righteous. Jesus is the only righteous one. He is our holiness. He's our power. And unless we come to that realization, then we'll always contend with us and never really succeed if we don't realize that. Now, tonight I want to mention some things. Now, don't pass out when I tell you how many I have to mention. We may not mention them all. I want to mention seven things on how to overcome the flesh. How to overcome the flesh. Again, we may or may not. We may just briefly hit a couple of them and move on. But anyway, let's jump right into it. The first way to overcome the flesh is by recognizing the weakness of the flesh. We have to recognize that we are weak people, weak and needy, actually. We are weak and we are needy creatures. Our flesh is weak. And our flesh tonight is not saved, as you know. And so therefore we are very capable of falling. Some of the best tonight have fallen by the wayside. Several pastors, even in our area, have fallen and are not in the ministry tonight. Several. And it seems like every time you turn on the news, there's the face of some minister or church person, some kind of a church employee or pastor or someone has fallen. And the person who has fallen like that has got to a place where they felt like they won't fall. What does the Bible say? Pride cometh before a fall. God help us tonight to stay humble, stay broken. Stay at a place where we recognize our flesh and the capabilities. Now, 1 John chapter number 1 for just a moment. 1 John chapter number 1. Look at verse number 8. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so John, he's writing to the church. He's writing to his little children, and he's saying that we all have sin. We all have the capability of sinning, and we will from time to time. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we see that we can and will sin. And whenever we do sin, we must confess that sin and forsake that sin in order to maintain a fellowship with God or a fellowship with the Lord. Look at verse number 9. If, that little word if, it's a contingency there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, I do want to say that I believe that the verse number 9 is talking about communion with the Lord, talking about fellowship with Him. Now, our union with Christ will never be broken, will never be severed. We become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. If I could say it that way, the moment that we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we became one of His. And we're forever His. We will always belong to Him. Sometimes you gotta slow it down, right? We will forever and always belong to Him. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing at all, but our communion can be affected. Sin affects our communion with the Lord. Unrighteousness affects that. Disobedience affects that. And so we see that in these verses that we all will sin from time to time. And if we say we have no sin or will not sin, that the truth is not in us. Now, not only in order to overcome the flesh, we need to recognize the weakness of the flesh, but we need to restrain the flesh, restrain it. Romans chapter number 13. Romans 13, it's Bible drill night. Notice verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we see we are to restrain the flesh from sinning, restrain the flesh from having its way. We're to do this by not making it easy for ourselves to sin. The word provision here, it means to make room, it means to provide, it means to secure. Now, this morning I mentioned I bore my soul to you. I put myself out there. And let me just say this in illustration to this verse. I'm trying not to eat sugar, and I haven't for 7 days. Now, I can't keep that up my whole life. There'll be times where I have a little bit. but I'm just trying to get started. Now, would it benefit me or not? Would it help me or my cause or not if I left church tonight, went by Publix and got a cake and brought it home and set it on the counter and said, I'm not going to touch it? Would that hurt my cause? That absolutely would. I would be making it easy for me to sin. I'd be making it easy for me to blow what I've been doing. And so therefore, I might go to Publix after church tonight, but it ain't going to be to get cake. It'd be to get a little bit of salad, some rotisserie chicken or some wings like that. And, you know, and so some good things are happening tonight. But anyway, he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we're to restrain the flesh. Restrain it. Don't make it easy for yourself to sin or get distant from the Lord. Think ahead. All right, number three, resist the devil is another way of overcoming the flesh. While the flesh is our enemy, so is Satan. You know that. They feed off each other. Therefore, we are to resist him. James chapter number 4, you don't have to turn there, I'll just give it to you. But in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, James says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think one of the biggest problems in our success over this concerning the devil and temptation is we try to resist the devil. We try to say, well, I can overcome that situation if it should arise. If I'm ever put in that kind of situation, I know me, and I'll get myself out of it. And those are some of the famous last words, isn't it? I'll be fine. I'm okay. I'll get out of it. No. You see, while we try to resist the devil within our own strength, we always fall back in and take the bait. But we're to do that first part where he says, submit yourselves therefore to Christ. We submit ourselves to him. We surrender. We say, Lord, we can't do this. We need your power, your ability. And so therefore, I recognize my flesh. I recognize my enemy. I submit to you. And Lord, fight this battle for me. And when we do that, the Bible says that the devil will flee from us. Now, he'll flee, but he'll be back. He'll be back. So we're to resist the devil. Last Sunday night, we preached on the special message to Peter, or a special message to Peter. And in Luke 22:31, Jesus tells him, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. And he goes on and says, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. He says that the devil wants to get you in the sifter and shake things up. He really wants to agitate your life and all of these things. And so knowing that, knowing how the devil wants to agitate things, he wants to stir the pot. He wants to get you caught up in some kind of negative thought pattern that will affect your performance in life. Knowing that, let us resist him. So that's a way of overcoming the flesh tonight, is resisting the devil, of course, through Jesus. See, we're already on number 4. Number 4, overcoming the flesh, let us renew our minds with the Word. Renew our minds with the Word of God. Psalm 119, 133, you can make your way there if you like. Psalm 119, verse number 133. Psalm 119, verse 133. The Word of God is our greatest weapon. And study and memorizing Scripture will keep us on the right path. Studying and memorizing Scripture will allow us to have a sound and disciplined mind so that when we get in a situation, we know what to do. But the Bible is the key. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Psalm 119, 133. The Bible says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. How about that? Talking about the flesh tonight, talking about our enemy. Let us stay in the word and allow God to marinate his word upon our hearts and our minds so that we know what to do at the right time. Renew your minds with the word of God. Resist the devil. Restrain the flesh. Recognize the weakness of the flesh. And then, number five, we need to run from every form of evil. Run from every form of evil. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's times when it's better to run than to stay and be defeated. You say, Brother Justin, I thought that the Bible teaches us to fight. Well, the Bible does teach us to fight. But sometimes the Bible teaches us to flee. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 for a moment. 1 Timothy 6. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Back in verse number 11, that word flee, you know what that word flee means? It means to vanish. It means to be gone. Flee, vanish. But thou, O man of God, O person of God, vanish from sin. Leave it. Flee from it. Vanish. A situation starts to occur. Don't stand and try to fight it. There's times where we're in situations where we have to stand and fight. But other times we just need to flee. And a perfect illustration of this is Joseph. Potiphar's house. You remember how Potiphar's wife wanted him? Genesis 39 and verse number 12, Joseph literally ran out of his coat. She grabbed a hold of him. Come here, boy. He was gone. He ran right out of his coat. And, of course, he had to explain all this, and Potiphar, and, I mean, the evidence was there. But, you see, Joseph wasn't going to stand and fight. I'll tell you why, because he knew his flesh. I mean, we have on the other end of the spectrum King David, who was on the rooftops one night. And nobody put their hands on him, and he went after her, Bathsheba. And here we have Joseph in the situation, and he ran. He got gone. And so both men knew about their flesh, but one did the right thing and one did not. So we see that we are to run from every form of evil. Sometimes we're in situations where we're constrained and we have to fight. I'm telling you, tooth and nail, we have to fight. And sin is all around us. Temptation's all around us. We can't escape. It's because of whatever routine we have, situation that's given. We are in it and we have to fight. But if you know it's going to be a fight, don't get in it to the best of your ability. Run from every evil, every form of evil. Number six. How about that? We're almost done. Not even 15 minutes. Pretty quick. Number six, when it comes to overcoming the flesh, remind ourselves of the consequences of sin. Romans 6:23, we'll have the verse there dealing with that, the consequences of sin. For the wages of sin is death, is what the Bible says. There is consequences of sin. Sin has a price tag tonight. Sin has a price tag of death. Sin has a price tag of loss. Sin has a price tag of hardship and heartache. Sin has a price tag of setback, and the question is, do you want to pay that price? And I think I know the answer to that, and it's no. None of us do. None of us do. Someone said one time that sin will take you further than you're willing to go and make you stay longer than you're willing to stay and make you pay more than you're willing to pay. That's what sin does. And so we see that we're to remind ourselves of the consequences of sin. Romans 6:23. All right. And then lastly, and we'll be through, that is to repent daily. Overcoming the flesh has a lot to do with just daily repentance. From the smallest to the biggest sin, repent. Immediately confess and purge it from your life. Colossians 3 and verse number 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. The first half of that verse says that. It says mortify, put to death. In fact, the word mortify means put to death, or it means to starve out. Starve the flesh. So therefore, in order for all of this to be possible, we must first repent. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Well, that's the message tonight. Let's go to the house. Been a long day. CLU, I heard, was a tremendous a lesson Miss Melita gave, and what a blessing that is. Thank you for doing that. Just been a busy day, had choir practice and all, so we're going to pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you today. We praise you for who you are, for what you do, God. Help us, Lord, to just recognize the weakness of our flesh and to know, God, that we need to fortify ourselves day in and day out. So, Lord, we look to you to do that. Help us, God. Help us. Strengthen us. Enable us. Help us count the cost every moment of every day and just keep making our way towards you, walking in the light because you're in the light. We love you today. We thank you and we praise you. And Father, at the same time, we pray for Jerry as we prayed earlier. We pray that you would guide the hands of the doctors, touch that part in his brain that is causing this trouble. We pray for a good recovery. We pray that he's much better than he was before. Dear Lord, although he felt nothing before, but Lord, work in a mighty way, and we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You're at liberty to go.